Please stand for our gospel lesson this morning. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that you would be in our midst this morning as we hear from your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord, our God, who is our rock and our redeemer, our friend in whom we trust. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning in worship and have this opportunity again to share God's word with all of you. Many of you have been saying, "When are you going to speak again?" We'd like to hear you, so it's good to have that opportunity. It's always wonderful to speak somewhere where you're appreciated and where people are looking forward to that. So it is just a privilege and a humble blessing for me to be here and share with you what God has laid on my heart this morning concerning our readings. This week, or these past few weeks, we have been working downstairs in our contemporary worship service through Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Matthew chapter 5 through 7 entails what has come to be known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it's usually regarded as Jesus' greatest sermon that he preaches, that we read about at least, that we have recorded in the Gospels. And so we've been working through that. And the concept that Jesus is really pulling out over and over again in Matthew's chapter 5 to 7 is he's painting this picture of what the citizens of his kingdom look like. What is the heart of one who claims to be a citizen of God's kingdom? What does that heart look like? What would an image of a kingdom heart look like? And so for a couple chapters, he sort of explains what that might look like, the type of heart that is incumbent of those who follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so here in chapter 6, in chapter 5, he sort of goes through different issues that we all deal with, things like being angry at people, things like taking revenge, how do we treat our enemies, things like marriage and relationships and things like that. And that's chapter 5. And then when we get to chapter 6 this morning, Jesus is in the midst then of giving us some warnings about some character flaws, you might say, that have the ability to really block or hinder us from living in a relationship with God and block or hinder us from growing as part of God's kingdom. Maybe we could say block or hinder us from becoming his disciples. And those character flaws that Jesus mentions, they both precede our reading this morning about storing up treasures on earth versus in heaven. There's some that come before that, and then there's some that come after that. Our reading this morning is sort of plopped right in the middle. And so I think it ties the whole thing together. And so I want to talk about that this morning. What is Jesus getting at when he's talking about storing up treasures on earth versus in heaven? These warnings that come before our scripture lesson this morning deal with people Jesus calls hypocrites. Actually, in the Greek there, the ancient Greek language, hypocrites referred often to actors on a stage. Later, it became attributed to those who practice deceit. And so we kind of know what this word hypocrite means. We usually probably define it as someone who says one thing and does another. But the people that Jesus calls hypocrites, they're those that when they do certain, specifically he's mentioning it in the context of their religious practice, when they do certain things like giving to the needy or praying or fasting, this is the first part of Matthew 6, he says they do it not out of love of God or love of their neighbor, but instead they do those things, giving to the needy, praying, fasting, in a way that others might notice them, in a way that others might recognize them and give them their praise and adoration. And maybe you've met people like that along your journey, because I know none of you are like this, but maybe you've met somebody who's like this. These people seem to have this unhealthy need for the constant approval of others. It manifests in their life in different ways, maybe in this constant boasting or a holier-than-thou type of attitude. They make sure, often in subtle yet recognizable ways, that they let you know that they're the experts in their field, that they have all of the answers to everyone's questions, and they want you to know that they do, and that they are really good at what they do, or that they have done something great. And they sort of flaunt, if you will, their giftedness and their expertise or their achievements and successes. And so that's the type of people that Jesus mentions in the first part of Matthew chapter 6. He refers to them as hypocrites. And then after, those are the warnings that come before our scripture reading this morning about storing up treasures on earth. And then after that, of course, if you've have gone on to read the rest of Matthew 6, you know that it deals with our obsessive desire, this unhealthy obsession over material wealth, over our money. And Jesus goes on to make this really kind of bold, sobering statement to all of us. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. And so, situated right in between these two sections about the hypocrites who love to boast and do things not because they love God, but so they get recognition from others, and then also these folks that are just obsessed about their material wealth, right sandwiched in the middle is this verse that we read this morning. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think this set of verses perfectly pulls together everything that Jesus is saying around that verse in Matthew 6. What does Jesus mean by storing up treasures on earth? What does that look like? What is he getting at? When Jesus talks about storing up treasures on earth, he's talking about something in the 21st century I like to call image management. That so many people, I think, today get caught up in, where we incessantly crave the approval of others, either by what we do, or by how we look, or by how much we know, or, of course, by how much stuff we have. To store up treasures on earth means to play the world's game on the world's terms, by the world's rules, and then hope that somehow the world's system will satisfy the deep longing we all have for meaning and purpose and self-worth and love. If you're on social media today, I think social media is plagued with the disease of image management, especially among our young people. Online profiles are created and maintained that portray this idealized image rather than the real thing. We create an image of what we think will draw the attention and approval of others. And so Jesus describes the pursuit of these things, this image management that we struggle with, as storing up treasures on earth, storing up worldly treasures, seeking security and meaning and purpose and self-worth in the opinions of others, and in the temporary, superficial, material things of this world. That's what it means to store up treasures on earth. The problem with this is it's so fickle, and it's so temporary, and it's so fleeting. Jesus says it's as unstable as a sweater in the presence of a moth, and as hard to maintain as jewelry in the presence of a thief. It rusts It gets eaten up. It gets stolen. It doesn't last. It doesn't satisfy. And maybe some of you here this morning can testify, maybe to a prior life of searching after those things, that that was the case for you. But then Jesus gives us the good news of the gospel. He gives us a better way to live. Jesus wants to free you and me from the futility of seeking after worldly treasures. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You see, the good news of the kingdom of God is that you can be free of all the empty pursuits of the kingdom of the world. When you live in the kingdom of heaven, you can be free of all of the empty pursuits of the kingdom of this world. You can be free from the controlling opinions of others in the grip of materialism. In Jesus Christ is a satisfaction of a very different kind. In Jesus Christ, we find love, real, unconditional, true love. We find value and worth and purpose and meaning. In the kingdom of God, there is joy and peace and contentment that lasts. This is what it means when Jesus says, store up treasures in heaven. You can be filled with an eternal kind of peace and hope. And so as citizens of God's kingdom, you don't have to go around like the hypocrites, blasting trumpets every time you do something notable. Nor do you need to maintain some sort of fabricated image so that others like you. Instead, this is the good news, your worth is guaranteed as a child of God. That's grace. Your worth is guaranteed as a child of God. Maybe there's people here this morning that need to hear that message. Maybe there's those of us here this morning that need to be reminded of that, that your worth is guaranteed, not because of what you've done or how much you know or how much you have or what you look like, but because you have been called a child of God through relationship, through trusting in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus ends this teaching in Matthew 6. He goes on after our scripture lesson that we read this morning, and he gives this another great memory verse. I love reading these in the context of Jesus' entire message. It sort of brings on new meaning for us. He says this, therefore, if this is true, when you come in to this type of living, where you're living under the love of God, in relationship with Jesus Christ, when you're set free from the controlling opinions of others and you don't feel like you have to constantly be working to be approved by others, when that happens, therefore I tell you, you won't worry anymore as much. Do not worry, he says, about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For the pagans run after these things. In other words, those that have no clue about how good life can look like in God's kingdom, the Gentiles or the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will then be given to you as well. You see, when you place all of your hope and your value and your worth in earthly treasures, then you're likely going to spend all of your time worrying about the security of those things. In his book, The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard, he says this. I love this quote. He's speaking about anxiety and worry that we have. He says, anxiety and worry occur only as a hangover of bad habits established when we were trusting things. Let me read that again. Worry and anxiety occur only as a hangover of bad habits that we established when we were trusting in things. Things like human approval and wealth that are certain to let us down. By contrast, those who live as part of God's kingdom don't have to worry about human approval. All the provision and the security that they need has been provided for them in Jesus Christ. That's God's promise in his word today. And for those that have lived according to this promise, this kingdom lifestyle, they end up having the track record to prove what Jesus is saying. And so, friends, I want to encourage you this morning, and I want our prayer to be that we might be a people who together place our hope and our security in heavenly treasures instead of earthly ones. May we be a people who desires to grow in our relationship with God above all things. May we be a people who desires to earn God's approval instead of the applause of others. May we be more concerned with building God's kingdom than our own kingdom, more concerned about the work of God's ministry than just maintaining a facility. As Jesus taught us to pray, may God's kingdom come on earth through you and through me as it is in heaven. Amen. Won't you pray with me this morning?